invite Keegan Thomas up to give his faith talk.
Hello, I am Keegan Thomas. I have been a member at this church for 11 years, and I was adopted and baptized when I was 3 years old. There are some things about me that I would like to tell you. I am an 8th grader at Good Shepherd Lutheran School, and I have attended Good Shepherd since preschool. My favorite sport is soccer, and I have played for the Boys and Girls Club for multiple years, but I plan to also play in high school and college. While those things are important to me, I also like the third article of the Apostles' Creed. When we came into confirmation, we learned about the third article of the Creed. I started thinking about more what I believe. I learned that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in God. I chose the third article because it helps me to better understand my faith. It helped me to believe that Jesus has died and rose again and that he will forgive all our sins. This article will help me to remember that God will always forgive me. Confirmation has taught me more things about Jesus than what I previously knew. Before I started confirmation, I never thought God was there for me. I just didn't think he was actually listening when I had my prayers and when I needed him. But after a little bit of learning and reading of the gospel, I learned he is always there. When we come together as Christians, we gather around God. By that, I mean we come together and we learn about words that explain God. We will also have lessons on amazing things God has done. There are some things that I have learned about Jesus. Jesus will never stop loving us no matter what. He has also given me the chance to experience his word and what he created in his world. He has given me my body and soul and all the things I inherit today. I know now that he is the Almighty One.
Let us now begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our readings.
Our first reading is from Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, from 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Here ends the reading. Our second reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Please stand now for the reading of the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for the fifth Sunday in Lent, we read that God sent his Son to the vineyard to be killed by sinful men, becoming the stone that the builders rejected so that he could become the cornerstone of our church. It's found in the book of St. Luke, chapter 20. And Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But Jesus looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the end of the reading. You may be seated as the children come forward for the children's message.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things I absolutely love is a good scavenger hunt. But not just any scavenger hunt will do. I don't just want to go and find the clues and the next item or whatever it happens to be and so on and so forth. I want to have a purpose. I want the scavenger to hunt to have some kind of end game in mind, where the clues fit together, where the end has meaning. But whenever that happens, I absolutely love it. I love it whenever there's a mastery and a plan in place, where everything comes together at the end, where you finally reach the end and you go, oh, it makes so much sense now. All these parts that I couldn't figure out, now it makes sense. When we read the parable of the wicked tenants, it almost seems like one of those kind of scavenger hunts. The tenants are wicked and they need to be destroyed. Certainly, that is what we get out of the parable. But almost like a scavenger hunt, all the bad things that happen seem to be planned. Even as the climax of the events, with the killing of the Son, we now know through Christ that this is how God chose to save His people. The sacrifice of the Son is how God chose to save us. So how did we get to here? How did we get to this climactic point? What else happened in the story? What does it all mean? And those are all some important questions that we have for today's text. Throughout the parables, we see the wicked tenants taking care of a vineyard. The people standing around Jesus would have known immediately what the vineyard meant, or at least what it was an analogy of, because it was an analogy for the people of Israel. They knew it because this isn't the first time that this analogy is used. The analogy of the vineyard also appears in the book of Isaiah, the 5th chapter. In Isaiah, God is mad at the people for not being repentant, for not bearing the fruit of repentance. Here in Luke, the vineyard makes yet another appearance. The people sitting there are familiar with it. They realize that the Lord of the vineyard is God, and that the vineyard, His people, but the tenants of the vineyard are wicked. The ones who watch over the vineyard, who want to do things their way. They don't want to give fruit to the Lord of the vineyard. Instead, they want it for themselves. And this comes to a head after 3 servants of the Lord of the vineyard are beaten and thrown out. It is then that the Lord of the vineyard sends His own Son to attend to the matter. The tenants decide that they can become heirs of the vineyard if they kill the Son. We also want to become heirs. We want to share in the inheritance of God, the Lord of the vineyard. We look at this story and we talk about how wicked the tenants are for doing this horrible thing, but in our own world, we see so many similar instances all the time. Sometimes the examples are obvious, like when we fight over things that are not ours. But not just that. Religions seem to pop up everywhere, claiming that if you do everything just right, you can make it to heaven. Or even better, if you follow the rules perfectly, then you might be able to become a god in some churches. The practice of giving fruits to ourselves does not stop there. In our own lives and in our own churches, many times we get this idea that if we only do enough, if we only give enough, if we only pray enough, then we will get to heaven. The fruit of the vineyard are not going to the Lord when we think in this way. This practice makes us the masters of the vineyard. Well, at least it makes us like the tenants, trying to do things on our own, apart from the Lord of the vineyard. Our sin adds up. And even though it happened centuries ago, we find that we are still responsible for the killing of the Son. Not the Son of the story, but what the Son represented. With our sin, with our attempts to be in control of our own inheritance, we are just as much to blame for Christ's death as those who were there. The wicked tenants killed the Son. We, through our sins, killed Christ. It is a terrible thing. The wicked tenants in the parable were to be destroyed and the vineyard was to be given to others. This is where the parable ultimately ends. The wicked tenants had done wrong. The Jewish leaders were trying to do things the wrong way. And in spite of the parable, at the end of the text, they are still trying to kill Jesus. They are trying to kill the son, just like the wicked tenants in the parable. The surprise of all of that is that this is exactly what God wants. God sent his son to earth to be killed by wicked men for the sake of those very wicked men. God knew that all men had a sinful nature, that if nothing was done for their salvation, then they would all perish and go into eternal damnation. They killed the very Son of God, but in almost a surprise twist of events, what looked on the outside to be very bad was very good. The Son of God was killed. He was killed as a sacrifice for all mankind. They may have wanted to put him to death to get him out of their way. They had evil intentions, but their actions were what God had planned from the very beginning. In the parable, Jesus talks about what is to be done to the wicked tenants. They are to be destroyed. But look at what else is there in the parable. The Lord of the vineyard will give the vineyard to others. Just as frightening as the destruction of the tenants would have been for them, it would be just as wonderful to have the vineyard given to them. God's plan was to give the vineyard freely to others. The shocking news is that all of this can still surprise us to this very day, that God planned it all from the beginning, that this is the way in which things were to be done. In spite of all this, however, we find that we are still sinful. We are sinful, and much of the time we can't even help it. We still want the inheritance that God offers, but we want it on our terms. We want it our way, not necessarily God's way. When we look at ourselves, we may be surprised at just how far our sinful nature goes. No matter how hard we try, sin always is there, not far behind us. Sin is in what we think. It's in what we do. It's in what we say. God has a plan for that too. In Romans 6, Paul talks about being crucified with Christ. The very law of God destroys and kills our sinful nature just as if the sinful nature were a wicked tenant. But through faith, we are given a new nature. The old sinful nature is destroyed and the new nature is born. And this is not a one-time deal. This happens daily. Paul talks about how we were washed daily with the waters of our baptism. Even if the baptism happened 100 years ago, as Christians with a new nature in Christ Jesus, Christians who have been washed of our sin by Christ, we are in the vineyard of God. And now in our new natures, we bear fruit. We repent. But more than that, we spread the word of God, the word so that that vineyard might increase. We help those who are in a time of need. We try to avoid those wicked tenants who lead the church astray. But most importantly, we give glory to God. We don't try to get an inheritance by our own works. All that will bring is death and destruction. As we continue in our journey, we will find that we slip. Our sinful nature always seems to find a way to come back. We, like the wicked tenants, want to do things our way, our own way. We want all the gifts that God has to offer, but we don't want them necessarily on his terms. But every day we are washed anew. Every day we are washed by the waters of our baptism. The sinful nature in us dies, and a new nature arises. Every day we are washed clean. Every day we realize that our sinful nature put Christ to death, like the wicked tenants. And every day, with our new nature, we know that the death of Christ, although it sounds so very bad, is really so very good. How God saves us through the Son, through his Son. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now join together in a word of prayer and confess our sins before God our Father. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, because we have sinned. We have sinned with our thoughts, we have sinned with our words, we have sinned with our deeds. Lord, we had tried to do things on our terms and in our way. We come before you this day, Lord, and we ask for the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. We ask for mercy for the sake of the Son. Hear us now as we confess our sins before you in a moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord. Have mercy on us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we continue our service with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship on the side by the aisles, and sign that and get to know the people around you, that would be great.
Please stand as we bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious God, our life and works apart from Christ, no matter how they may glitter to the eyes of the world, are ultimately rubbish and have no righteousness. Rather than in the scandalous cross of Jesus, we find our righteousness alone through faith in Christ. You sent your beloved Son into the vineyard to be killed by sinful men and to become the stone that the builders rejected. Yet, the one rejected by men has become the cornerstone of your church. Help us to press on, O Lord, against all our enemies and strive for the goal of everlasting life prepared for us through the death of your Son. Almighty God, you have established your church upon the rock of Christ. Bless all those who serve you in your church. In our Sand Prairie congregation, we thank you for Pastor Chris. Bless him as he serves you by serving your people here through word and sacraments. Lord God, your power is without limit, and yet you have chosen mortal men and women to govern your people. Bless President Trump and Governor Pritzker and all elected officials who serve us on every level of government. Help them to have a spirit of respect for one another and especially for you. Bless the military service of men and women who defend us at home and abroad, and all police, firefighters, and emergency personnel who work on our behalf, many sacrificing their lives for others. Compassionate God, where people suffer in body or spirit, bring healing and peace. Sustain the weary with your word and grant those who are sick healing according to your will. We lift before you the names of those requesting our prayers, including Shirley Baker, mother of Jody McFarlane, who is in a Pekin hospital, Diana Williams and Deb Shea, who were released from OSF St. Francis, Bella Birch and Camilla Coy, who are recovering at home from surgery, and those we now name in our hearts. Be with them in their hour of need and comfort them that they may not be overcome by struggle, grief, or pain. As we pray daily for families of our Sand Prairie congregation, this morning we offer special petitions for the Kilgus, the Clockengay, and the Canuck families, that you would keep them in your loving care. Where we are in error, O Lord, reform us. Where our love is lacking, renew us. Where our faith is faltering, give us strength. Where we are distracted, give us a clear focus on Christ in whom we live by our baptism and faith. Keep us in Christ to the day of the resurrection of all flesh, when we shall be reunited with those who have gone before us. All these things we pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we will now say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Upon the glory, we'll reign upon the glory, we'll reign upon the glory. Yeah.